finding a morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
Okay, we're breaking a new board person in here. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. Let me quickly go to Joe. You've been hanging online. Go ahead, Joe. You're on with Chris Bowen.
One quick question here before I mention what I'm going to say. Robbie's only on 1 hour a day now, yes or no, and I'll get to the topic.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, too bad. I was in New Zealand for 102 days, and one of the things that really shocked me was that I think it was brought in 2002 and set up in downtown Christchurch at a major intersection. It's sort of like a four-way traffic section with a bridge. It goes over a canal with ducts in it. They got a few pieces of steel girders from the building and put them up in memorial to the people that died. But what it was about is, since they're going to use New Zealand volunteer forces with Australian forces to be in Afghanistan and as support, getting all the Western blood they can, like in World War One and World War Two, to fight crazy wars, being brought there, I viewed it as an insult, absolutely an insult and outrageous. They would dare try to do something like that, and that no one in that no one publicly protested against that being set up there. That's the way I feel and the way I see it. But the people I spoke to and asked them about it, they felt that it was disgusting also. And what amazed me is that the people in the South Island of New Zealand, they're not like the average Canadian or Brit. In fact, they're much more aware than the average person you meet in a grocery store here. I'm saying the average. I was sort of amazed to find that, or at least that was my experience when I was there. And the other thing is, about that building, John had mentioned to me there's somebody that wrote about after the initial attack on the building.
Yeah, he's listening to the program, and he actually called in. He's waiting on cue.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say this, that I had read something somewhere unrelated back somewhere in 1990 when the original blast took place. I read something only months after it happened talking about the expense of the engineering that would have to go on underneath the building to pump concrete, and how that even before the blast, the building had engineering problems. And on that note, I'll bid you a fond adieu.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Comments?
Okay,
comments, Chris?
Well, you know, the British Empire, it still exists in the sense of, you know, New Zealand, Australia, Canada. And these countries and the poor people who live there really don't have much say. If the British Crown and the City of London want to wage war in Iran or Iraq, they're likely to find themselves, you know, on a field of battle. That's very unfortunate, but it's been that way since World War One.
All right, we got to go to break here. I've got Carl Schwartz standing by that we'll just let him speak for himself. I don't know exactly what topic he wants to bring up, but we will do that right after this short break, and we'll get into more news and information here, folks. One of the darkest days in American history, September 11, 2001, and look what was born out of this baby. Oh, boy, it's not going to quit, folks. The war on terror might last 100 years. Well, oppressive boots on your face could last even longer. We'll be right back.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
This is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. You cannot escape the headlines and the warnings about where the value of the U.S. dollar is going. Since November of last year, the 10-year U.S. Treasury has lost 1.6% of its value. The popular S&P 500 index has inked out a small 4.6% gain, while gold and silver have returned 20%. There's no doubt gold and silver have regained its luster as an asset class, and the reasons are simple. The twin U.S. deficits have spiraled out of control, and the accumulated debt in the United States has become way too high to be effectively ever repaid. It will either have to default or, more likely, inflate. There's never been a more important time to call Republic Trading Group to secure your future. Call us today and speak to Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call that number at 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Another interested party out there, author of the book. I am amazed, folks, that we have been four and a half years post 9/11. Actually, longer than that now. One-way ticket to Crawford, Texas, the author Carl Schwartz. Good afternoon, Carl.
How you doing, Carl? John, you've been inspiring today. It's almost like Arthur Beale on Network.
Your
dander is up, and it shows, and that's a good thing.
Well, I'm really getting sick of this. And more importantly, Carl, what I'm really getting sick about is that the informed Americans out there are not speaking up. Now we have people in mainstream entertainment medias. We have academia in positions well thought out, well rounded, solid individuals coming forth. But yet, this is my bailiwick. This is my sticking point that the good Americans out there that are sitting on the information that knows exactly what's going on, they're still sitting there like dumb little blind sheep.
Well, they're afraid. It's a fear factor.
What do you think? You think they're afraid now, Carl?
Yeah, if they're afraid now, just imagine when they have these people's boot heels in their throat.
And it's a slap in the face of people like you, Christopher Bolin here. He's a real good investigative journalist. It's a slap in the face of the people that are doing the work, unearthing this information. Only allow it to be sitting in the heads of the American people, and they're not spreading the word.
Now we know how John the Baptist must have felt in the desert, right?
Well, I'm telling you.
The reason I called was two subject matters you've hit on. One of them was Ellen Mary Annie.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking to her back channel. Another thing they're trying to do to her, and this is, just one of those things where it's incredible that her attorneys keep rolling over, they're trying to force her into a corner for a psychiatric evaluation to determine her, whether or not she's, competent, to bring this lawsuit. And I said, Ellen, just basically go back to these people and tell them to file a counter motion to show cause. I mean, you are a victim. You're not the person who did this, and they're treating you like the criminal. And the other thing, Chris, I heard you bring up the five dancing Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you came across this in your research, but we did when I was putting my book together. Dominic Suter was the head of that company.
Yes.
His name popped up in Italy on an FBI seizure list for Al-Qaeda accounts right after they let him out of, basically mm-hmm. had him, under security here
mm-hmm.
and incarcerated. They let him go, and he fled back to Israel. But his name was on accounts that they were after for the financing flow of 9/11.
Right. He was on a terrorist suspect list, watch list.
Yes.
And the United States FBI did nothing to obtain his extradition from Israel.
Exactly. And, I even made the comment in some of my writings. I said, if I was president, he would be back in the United States or else. Israel would be facing a whole new music here. Because his name was on several accounts in Italian banks. It was the same stuff that Sybil Edmonds came across. It was the flow of money, of how they were converting this from drug trafficking into a bank account, wiring it forward, and financing 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And, unfortunately, most Americans don't know all this stuff. If I could have gotten about 10 million people reading my book, maybe they would understand this. It's in the book, by the way.
Right.
But anyway, that's all I wanted to say, John.
All right.
Ellen Mary Annie is, they're trying to corner her. To basically queer her entire cause of action. And then Dominic Suter, he's one of the henchmen.
Absolutely.
All right, Carl, thank you. I appreciate your call, sir. All right, take care. Chris, I don't know where to go from here. I'm at a loss for words.
Like Carl Schwartz said, this is Dominic Suter. This is one of the prime suspects who should have been arrested. And the FBI knew that he was the head of the Mossad front company for which these movers worked in, or supposedly worked. They were all Mossad men, the five guys that were dressed up like Arabs who were videotaping and celebrating the collapse of the attacks on the World Trade Center. And yet they allowed this man in the days after 9/11 to flee the country. I mean, this is outrageous. But you have to remember, this is the flawed investigation I was speaking of. And who was running this was Michael Chertoff. Michael Chertoff was number two under John Ashcroft, Attorney General, and Chertoff was the Assistant Attorney General responsible for the Criminal Division at the Department of Justice. So he is the Israeli-American who oversaw all of this allowing of the prime suspects, the real suspects, to go back to Israel on visa violations while he rounded up a bunch of jaywalkers who happened to be Muslim, visa violators, and these people were dragged up and shown that these are the terror suspects. Yet, of course, none of those Arabs or Muslims that they rounded up, 800, 900 people, turned out to have any links to any terror anywhere. Yet the Israelis who were caught red-handed, I mean, you have to understand, their vehicles, those vehicles that they caught those 60 Israeli movers in, these guys had, like, multiple passports, they had box cutters, and they had, thousands of dollars stashed in their pockets. And their vehicles, when tested by the local police, always tested positive for explosives. Yet when the FBI got a hold of the vehicles and tested them, then they were negative. So you see, the FBI has been the prime instrument in the covering up of the truth of 9/11 under Michael Chertoff. There again, our prime Zionist gatekeeper in the high position of the government. And in the litigation, there's the same thing. There you have Alvin K. Hellerstein, a very highly placed Zionist in New York City who's running all of the legal process that Ellen Mariani is going through, where she has to meet with the mediator, Sheila Birnbaum, who represents Israel and the insurance companies, where she has to go to psychological screening to see if she has post-traumatic stress disorder, what have you. I mean, this is outrageous.
You know,
she's being treated as if she's a suspect.
We refer to the Project for a New American Century, the Abramoffs and so on and so forth. We refer to them as being PNAC, but these truly are dual citizens. They are Zionists. They are representing the interest of Israel. And, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, I've got into many heated debates with people that some say it's the Jesuits are doing it. Some say the Zionists are doing it. And we have many parties out there that are taking part in this. But when we say Project for a New American Century, are we talking about the absolute Mac Daddy mainline Zionist political movement that has taken over the Justice Department, has sway with the courts, the FBI, you name it?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about the political Zionist movement here, or are we just talking about a bunch of PNAC people that just want to wage war and become an empire?
No, yeah, the PNAC people, the Project for a New American Century people, they're clearly Zionists. It's the people like, there are three Kagans on there. Kagan, you know, there's the Father Kagan who came over from Lithuania. These are Zionist Jews, of course, and then his two sons are on there. And there's the crystals, and this is but the people who produced the document about the America's defenses, in which they called for, that they said that the United States would have to invade and occupy Iraq with or without Saddam Hussein. I mean, and then when they said that they needed to have something like a new Pearl Harbor in order to bring this about, you know, and I asked him, what do you mean by that? You know, I called him up, and the guy said, well, you know, if we didn't have something like 9/11 as a new Pearl Harbor, we wouldn't be able to get the political and the political elite and the people behind us to go and do what we're doing now. You know, I mean, without 9/11 having occurred, it would be hard to sell the case that American troops should be fighting and dying in Afghanistan and in Iraq and as you say, perhaps Iran in the Middle East. You know, but in order to bring this about, they had to have this seminal event, this attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And it's as phony as a $3 bill. Anybody who cares to look at the evidence of 9/11 will quickly come to that conclusion.
Do we have I got two producers today. Do we have that Jimmy Kimmel clip? Check with Danny and make sure he's got that thing together. And let me go back here for a second while I'm searching for that clip. The American people, Chris, they seem to be waking up. There's a lot of interested parties, cause celeb that are coming forth. As I said, we've got
right.
Jones and 9/11 Truth. What's the website, 9/11.org or 9/11truth.org? I can't remember the website.
Oh, you mean his 9/11truth.org? I think that's the one where.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you have to realize that this is what you're talking about with the Hollywood getting involved and everything. This is just a limited hangout. I think I'm using that term correctly. But I mean, this is an election year, and this is where people like Webster Tarpley, who I know personally, are coming forth on CNN and giving their version. But what I've always accused Mr. Tarpley of and questioned him about is why does he protect Israel? Because in his book on the very front page, he's got a big banner across the front, Made in USA. Now this is his book about 9/11, and he's saying that the 9/11 was made in USA. And I as an American, I refuse to accept that Americans working in the government engineered this plot. This is a foreign plot, you know. And those Americans who may be dual nationals, or those Americans who happen to be involved, those Americans who have helped to conceal the truth of 9/11, those Americans who have been involved in some way of 9/11 are obviously traitors, and they deserve to be hanged. But we have to ferret out who committed this crime, whether they're from Israel, whether they're Americans, and we have to prosecute them. They have to be caught. I mean, these people are still in their jobs. And people like Michael Chertoff do not have some sort of right to sit there and operate as Secretary of Homeland Security if they have been involved in the destruction of the evidence of September 11th. This is a crime.
Well, we have Webster Tarpley that does a two-hour show on Saturdays on this network. Maybe we can schedule out with Mr. Tarpley and answer that question that you posed personally.
Well, that's it. This is the dichotomy, you see. There are 9/11 researchers who will address the issue of Israeli involvement, and there are those who won't.
All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Phone calls, 800-313-9443. We'll take them.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
All right, folks, we are back here. You know, Chris, I'll tell you what, every once in a while I just get in one of these moods. And I'll tell you what, I know that you feel the frustration of a lot of people because you're out there interviewing and talking with them and developing the stories. But as I sit here in studio talking with you today and looking at the trouble that America is in and these perverted, bought off, compromised people that we have in Washington, D.C., and I'm talking about our Congress, Senate, and our Congress critters, the Bush White House, the Attorney General that we now have, that in my estimation is 10 times as bad as Butch Reno was in the Clinton administration. I almost wish for the Clinton administration days. It almost seemed like the cupcake and milk boys out there compared to this Bush regime.
It's utterly corrupt. And like I told you earlier in the first hour, is that when you have in the Homeland Security bill a last-minute provision entered into the bill by which these three security companies that ran airport security on September 11th received immunity from the U.S. Congress. This gives you an indication. If, by the way, the Republicans voted straight down the ticket to give immunity to these companies, and the Democrats voted against it pretty much. But I mean, this is outrageous. You know, we have the crime of the century occurring in broad daylight, thousands of Americans killed, and Congress gives immunity to the companies that were supposedly providing security at the airport, because you understand, the security companies at the harbors and the ports are what it's all about. It's the same sort of thing like today. Michael Chertoff is in charge of the security for the President of the United States. The Secret Service is under his purview. So obviously, if Michael Chertoff, has a falling out with George Bush, maybe some of the key Secret Service guys won't go to work on Monday or something like that, and they'll have a disaster.
Well, I'll tell you what, just playing devil's advocate here for a minute, if we did have a terrorist attack or an impending threat, don't bother calling Homeland Security, because I called them up today, and I was very civil and very nice, very even approach. The conversation you heard was the Office of the Inspector General. They promised to return my call, but my call was blocked. When I was promptly hung up on, I tried to call back in. They'd already blocked a phone call.
Well, that's the same thing. That's what happened with Hurricane Katrina, is that the person who was in charge of the federal response to Hurricane Katrina was Michael Chertoff, who was in Atlanta talking about sick bird flu or something on that day, the day before. And as FEMA Secretary Brown, I think his name was, said, it was worthless to try and call Homeland Security and talk to Chertoff. He went straight to the president. But, they made him the fall guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the fall guy is Chertoff. And the question is, why does the media support Chertoff? Well, this is the root of the problem. Same thing. The same reason why the mainstream media in the United States has never repeated all of the reports that there were explosions going off on September 11th before and during the collapses of these towers.
Well, and
their reporters are right there.
Well, and there's something else that wasn't reported about UA Flight 93.
There you go.
The one that went down in Shanksville.
And the one that landed in Cleveland.
The one in Shanksville, folks, this was not an airplane that was taken over by hijackers. There was a scuffle in the cockpit. They lost control of the aircraft, and it augured into the ground. The nose and the tail section are 8 miles apart. 8 miles apart. The only way that can happen is if that plane was shot out of the air. And supposedly, now there's even a Hollywood movie being released about the valiant people on their cell phones from 35,000 feet calling loved ones and bidding them farewell. Now, this was supposedly done by hijackers on September 11, 2001, nine of which, ladies and gentlemen, of the 19 supposed hijackers are alive and well on planet Earth. They must be supermen to survive crashes into Pentagons and into World Trade Centers and everything else. I mean,
it's a Hollywood fairy tale.
It is so full of holes. My God, it's so full of holes that you could literally fly a 747 through it.
But since you brought up UAL 93, Flight 93, I wanted to tell you, this is where the Cleveland Airport, the mystery of Cleveland Airport, comes into this. Because early on the day, on September 11th, they shut down Mayor White of Cleveland. He's a black man. He shut down the airport and sent all of the people in the airport out, sent them home. But they were not allowed to take their cars, but they had to leave the airport. And the airport was shut because two planes landed at that airport. One was reported as being United Airlines Flight 93.
Mm-hmm.
And this was confirmed to the Associated Press by United Airlines. So if Flight 93 landed at Cleveland Airport and was taken to a far end of the airport, and another plane, a Delta plane, landed at Cleveland Airport and was taken to the south side of the airport, what crashed in Shanksville? But now this is interesting. All of the passengers on this Flight 93, I think there were 200 of them or on the plane that – one of the planes. There were 200 on one, and there were like 60 on the other. These people were taken off the plane, and in the plane on the north end of the field – they were taken into the NASA facility, the John Glenn Research Facility there at the north end of Cleveland Airport. and the other ones were taken to the IX facility on the south side of the airport. I mean, this is a huge mystery. What happened to these people, and who are they?
All right, we'll take the break. Mark, Dylan, Joe, John, and others, just hang on. We'll get to all of your phone calls with my guest today, Mr. Christopher Bolin, writer for the American Free Press. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
This is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. I want to invite you to visit our new and improved website at republictradinggroup.com or simply click on the banner at rbnlive.com. Getting timely information on critical financial and political news has never been more important. By starting your day with a visit to the site, it will preserve that promise we make to liberty about being ever vigilant. Speaking of which, those who were vigilant about gold and silver this time last year were well rewarded. We also invite you to sign up to our free weekly newsletter and receive special offers from Republic Trading Group. And for those of you who don't have internet access, just give Republic Trading Group a call and speak to either Jeff Bennett or myself, and we'll be happy to arrange the snail mail alternative. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report.
Our first guest tonight is not only a member of the world-famous Sheen family of actors, little-known fact, also the genius behind the lucrative Afro Sheen empire.
Really?
That's right.
I did not know
you
that.
Know him from movies like Platoon and Wall Street, and in addition to seeing him every week on Two and a Half Men, opening tonight, you can see him in Scary Movie 4. Please welcome the indestructible Charlie Sheen. Happy almost Easter.
Hey, back at you. Thank you.
You had some interesting comments. You were on a radio show, and you talked about 9/11, and you have, is it a theory, or you just don't believe the government account of what happened on 9/11?
I just had questions.
Yeah?
I had a lot of questions, and the forum I chose to voice those questions in is the Alex Jones radio show,
mm-hmm.
and just because he's a guy that I've been a fan of and followed for a lot of years, and... You know, I got attacked. I mean, there were a lot of hit pieces. The reaction was
yeah. People get
severe.
Very mad when celebrities
mad.
Have
no,
opinions.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. I know he's not qualified. He doesn't. You know, he's just who the hell is he to have an opinion about something so so horrible. And, you know, it was sad because they didn't really take a look at any of the stuff I was asking them to look at, any of the evidence or any of the stuff that generated those questions, you know. And they said, oh, he's another tinfoil hat-wearing Hollywood clown, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like the only, you know, I felt that the only real validation I needed was just being a taxpaying American that loves my country.
Yeah, and you, I mean, it's just something that you wonder about, and you would like to know more about,
sure.
I assume. And do you,
sure.
Did you study the tapes?
I've done a lot of research, and it's not just me, it's the people that have come before me, the experts and the engineers and the physicists and the scientists and the scholars that raised a lot of these things. And I took a look at their research and said, yeah, it doesn't add up. A lot of it doesn't add up, hence these questions, you know. And there's two areas. There's Building 7, and there's the five frames from the Pentagon. Don't listen to me. Do your own research, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, what happened to a time in this country when we were entitled, when we had a constitutional and a God-given right to be curious about things that didn't make sense. That's
well,
all
because
it was.
We have a lot of cable shows now, and
thank you.
And they need stuff to be mad about. So, you know, stuff like this is like, oh boy, we could yell about this for an entire week. And
sure.
Plus, with your dad being the president and all, it puts a lot of the focus on that.
That's true. Yeah, I should have conferred with him before I came out publicly. You know?
Right. That was off of Jimmy Kimmel Live last Friday. This is starting to make its way, Chris, into Hollywood, into New York productions. They're making comments. I mean, we even played the one from The Sopranos, for gosh sakes. So this is gaining legs, and I hope that it is just not, as you stated earlier, that this just isn't like a flash in a pan.
Well, like I said, it's limited hangout. They're going to try and blame it on the Republican Party being an election year, and they're going to limit the amount of exposure, and people like myself who point out the Israeli connection are not going to get any traction or any coverage. You can be sure of that. But those who point the finger at the Republican Party will get a lot of traction because they're going to have a big Democratic coup. I suppose Democrats are going to come into power and Hillary Clinton will be the president. And people will think that everything is well in Oz.
If that happens, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to be like a monk. I'm going to go downtown Austin, Texas, pour a gallon of gasoline on myself and light myself on fire. Because if this cast iron bitch gets in the White House, folks, America is really over. We're dealing with one madman Bush in the White House right now.
Well, we're dealing with a criminal gang. That's what people have to understand. And all of those reports about the drug smuggling going through MENA and Arkansas and all of this is true. It has not been disproven. And the Clintons and the Bushes are part of the same gang. And in behind this gang and with this gang is a huge also Zionist Jewish criminal gang, which is basically has immunity in this country and does what they wish. People like Maurice Greenberg, for example. Maurice Greenberg is not only sitting on top of one of the largest pools of investment capital in the United States with this American International Group, he is also the owner of a company that leases airplanes to companies. So, for example, if you're wondering who may have owned two 767s that could have been outrigged and fixed up to fly into the World Trade Center without passengers, well, Maurice Greenberg with his International Financing and Leasing Corporation out of Los Angeles would certainly be one. He would have, for example, he is the kind of person who could have had at Stewart Air Force Base in those two big hangars, they could have had an American Airlines plane and an American Airlines plane all rigged out and ready to go and flown them just from Stewart Air Force Base, from Stewart International Airport now, into the World Trade Center without even going out of the range of the New York Metro air traffic controller. I mean, this is the kind of thing, you know, because people who saw the planes said, well, that's not an American Airlines plane. It had strange markings, and it didn't look like an American Airlines plane. Well, then what was it? And where did it come from?
Yeah,
this has been one of the big questions. Well, if this wasn't Flight 175 and this wasn't Flight 11 that hit the World Trade Center, whose planes were they, and where did they come from? And, I know the U.S. military might be kind of sloppy with some things, but they're not. They don't just lose a plane on one day and then just try to cover it up.
Well, and of course, we had NORAD that was running the operations on that very same day for the scenario that was taking place in real life. What
exactly,
about,
John. It's always like that, John. I mean, I've been involved with this Estonia catastrophe out in the Baltic Sea in 1994, the same sort of thing. 1,000 people get killed. But in always when you have these kinds of huge catastrophes, there is an ongoing military operation which deals with exactly that kind of scenario that happened. I mean, what happened in July 7th down there in over in London is a prime example. They were doing a drill with a private unnamed company. They don't want to reveal the name of that company, in which exactly the scenario that developed in London was part of the plan. So, you know, it's just a matter of switching the plan and making it from going from being a drill to reality. Somebody just switches the bullets, you know. It's the oldest trick in the book. And it's the same thing with 9/11. There were a whole host of drills going on that day, all of which involving planes crashing into buildings. So, I mean, we need answers, you know. And I don't want this to go 10 years down the road and we still haven't got answers.
Yeah,
we need answers.
Yeah, I mean, this in my mind, the way this has been plugging along, and I can understand Washington. I can understand the bureaucracies. There's a long-standing joke. Instead of a bureaucrat wanted to commit suicide in Washington, D.C., jumped out of a window, it'd take him a week to hit the ground and die. Now, but we're talking about changing the entire face of America under the pretext of we're going to be attacked, or we were attacked and we're going to be attacked again. I've heard a myriad of stories out there that we've had already have pre-placed and pre-positioned nuclear devices in America that at any given time that it can set these things off and we'll have martial law, whatever the case may be. I still go back to base zero here. Base zero is we've got a corrupt and dishonest government, and it needs to be cleaned out. We need to call the Roto-Rooter man and clean the cabal out of Washington,
D.C.
Well,
John, the problem is we have an unelected government. I saw one of these generals on TV this morning talking about Rumsfeld, and he was speaking on CNN. He's supporting Rumsfeld, and he was criticizing those high-level former military men for speaking out. And he said Rumsfeld was a duly appointed official of a duly elected government. Hold on a minute. This government was not duly elected. But, I mean, a lot of people don't read my articles about voting machines and vote fraud in the United States. But we do not have proper elections in this country. We're not allowed to count our votes. We're not even allowed to observe the counting of the votes. So there's no way that you can call elections in the United States free and fair and open under international standards, whatever they mean. We have completely rigged elections, and until people get their mind wrapped around that fact, they won't understand that we're living in a dictatorship.
All right, we've got to roll these calls where they've been patiently holding on. Mark in Texas, you're up first. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, John. Chris, appreciate what y'all are doing. I'm actually an airline pilot. I fly for that big airline out of Atlanta. We weren't affected on 9/11 and losing any planes, and I actually fly 757s and 767s, and from the beginning I've been skeptical that somebody with the kind of training that those guys supposedly had would have been able to pull something off like that, especially
you,
the one hitting the Pentagon.
You as a pilot, I mean, these 270-degree turns, could you possibly do that? How much stick time do you have at a 757?
Well, I probably got several thousand hours in a 757, 767, because we're dual qualified.
Mm-hmm.
I've got about 10,000 hours total, and it would be a challenging deal to do that. One, to find where you're looking, your target, basically, and then be able to maneuver an airplane like that down that low that fast. And, I mean, I'd like to think I'd be able to do it, but I know it would be challenging.
Well, and there's also the issue, and you understand ground effect. I mean, you as an airline pilot, you know that every time you land a plane, it's a controlled crash. That you're actually stalling the aircraft out, it's losing its ability, its lift, to stay in the air, and you're actually controlling a crash. But the ground effect, you're fully aware of the ground effect. An airliner screaming in at 450, 500, 550 miles an hour, the ground effect alone would be enough to push that airplane back up. The Pentagon is not a tall building.
No, I mean, you've got to compensate for that just by you've got to continually be increasing your forward pressure as your airspeed builds. And it can be done. But it's questionable that somebody with the limited training that those guys supposedly had and no real live time in the airplanes could have pulled that off. But my question for y'all is, like with Chertoff and Wolfowitz and Pearl and these guys, everyone says they're dual citizens. How would I, as an individual out here, be able to verify that they are, in fact, dual citizens?
Good question.
Mm-hmm. Good question. I don't know about Wolfowitz and those other characters, but Pearl, but I certainly know about Chertoff. It's just a matter of doing the research. I did the research at the library and found that his mother was Livia Eisen, and that she was one of the first Mossad agents. And she was the she worked Operation Magic Carpet when
right.
Israel flew all these people in from the Yemen into Israel in 1948. So I called his office, like John did, and I spoke to his secretary there. And the only thing they would ever say, they would not answer the dual national question. They said that he does not hold dual citizenship, which is to mean that he doesn't have an Israeli passport in his pocket. And he probably did that so that he wouldn't have to serve in the Israeli military. But he's a dual national. There's no question about it.
Well, yeah, because I'm familiar with who his mother was and stuff like that, too. But, I mean, you hear on this show and other shows where they talk about a lot of these guys being dual citizens. But I'm like, okay, let's how do we prove it?
Well,
right.
I'll tell you what, the airline you fly for, I want to book all my flights on your aircraft, because I'll tell you what, if anybody jumps out of a seat with a box cutter, you and I go back there and kick their butts. How's that one?
But isn't that Delta, isn't that airline's Delta? And Delta, one of the planes that landed at Cleveland that day, I think, was Delta Flight 1989, if I'm not mistaken. And that is one of the planes, that was the plane I think that was carrying 200 people. So Delta, there were events that, some things did occur with Delta that day as well.
All right.
We just didn't lose any of the crap.
Right.
All right, well, I'll let you go.
All right, thank you, Dylan. I appreciate your call. Yeah, I've asked many airline pilots about this,
mm-hmm.
and especially the trade centers with the 270-degree turns
mm-hmm.
and this, that, and the other. And they told me, that said they said, look, this is basically trying to one pilot put it, he said, this would be like literally hitting a haystack with a needle at 5,000 feet.
Right.
The control that would be necessary, and we're talking about under calm circumstance where a pilot would have full command of the aircraft, but these pilots were in no way qualified to fly anything.
Of course. There's a pilot that's written a book about this. A new book is coming out today, I think. His name is Glenn Stanish. And his book is Uncle Sam's Christian Patriots. And he was flying for American Airlines that day. And he's written a very good book. And what's interesting about his book is that he writes about Israeli involvement in 9/11. And a lot of his information comes from American Free Press. And so I reviewed his book for the current paper. But the thing is that he has also written a great deal about what happened in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And now, with the Mousawi trial going on, we often see this image from the Shanksville field, from the reclaimed mine, of this hole in the ground. Now, there's no plane crashed in that hole. You know, I went to that hole. I got as close as I could, and I've spoken to the people involved there. And, you know, the one girl ran right up to the edge of the hole from the junkyard, and she said that hole is 24 feet across and about 6 feet deep, and there was not a single piece of an airplane there. I can't understand how Americans can accept that is a place where a plane crashed. Because what I was told from the guy at the Somerset Tribune, what he told me when I asked him, why is there no evidence of an airplane there? He said, well, you have to understand, he said, it was a reclaimed mine, and so the ground acted differently. He said, when that plane struck the ground liquefied and swallowed the plane. I mean, this is how bizarre it's getting. Now, this man happens to be also active military.
Okay, well, how do they explain the tail and the nose section being eight
well,
miles apart?
Well, this is a very good point. So, yeah. You know, they're digging in that ground, and if that's where the plane went, I asked the man who did the digging, did you come across any fuel, jet fuel there? And he said, no, there was no jet fuel there. But he gave the FBI the use of his heavy-duty equipment, and they're the ones. Only FBI personnel went, you know, a mile into the woods and retrieved those parts you were speaking about before, wing, the tail, whatever, what other physical remains
right.
of the plane did exist.
And that should have been wholly and solely the job of the National Transportation Safety Board.
Yes, but it was the FBI.
Uh-huh.
Just like who identified the bodies. You see, in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, it's supposed to be my good friend Wally, the coroner for Somerset County. But he, under FBI, you know, duress from the FBI, gave them the permission to keep the site, to be in control of the site. And they're the ones. Two FBI agents working at Dover Air Force Base are the ones who supposedly identified all the passengers on that plane. And they gave death certificates to Wally, and Wally signed off on them. And when I called them up and I said, Wally, you know, what you did isn't quite right. You turned over the whole crime scene to the FBI, and then you just basically signed off on death certificates for people whose bodies you never saw. He obviously got a little bit exercised about my phone call. But, I mean, this is what's going on. It's a complete cover-up, and the FBI is the prime instrument of the covering up.
All right. Dylan, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. A lot of airline pilots out there listen to these programs. Joe in New York. Hello, Joe.
This is Dylan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dylan.
Must have been Joe, the pilot.
Okay, my apologies. I normally on the screen here, the person I'm talking to is blacked, and when they're gone, they're taken off the screen. My apologies. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if that was Joe, but I know that was a pilot. He said he was, and honestly, I was a jet mechanic part time in the reserves. Anyway, but it was great to hear from a pilot, but his estimation was the most optimistic I've heard of any pilot that I've talked to about being able to fly a plane into those buildings, especially the Pentagon.
Right.
I've not talked to any pilot that said they could have flown the purported large aircraft, passenger aircraft of that size at the 270 degree turn at that speed,
right,
coming in, like you said, with the ground effect.
I'm going to tell you something. The first time that I ever flew a plane, I was in a single engine plane, and I had to hop over some power lines, and I overshot the runway. It was a mile long, and I was only flying a Cessna. So, you know, you can't tell me, you know, and it is possible. I guess it is possible to do, but you would have to have so much training and so much stick time. You would have to know exactly how that plane would react when you got it in those conditions. I mean, it's just absurd. I mean,
most likely you'd have to have done the course before.
Absolutely, repeatedly.
You'd have to have a practice run.
And we're talking about the multi-million-dollar trainers that they use. At the very least, if you weren't flying a real aircraft, you'd have to have many, many hours inside one of these multi-million-dollar simulators. So at any rate.
Well, anyway, being able to disprove the physics of 9/11 is easy. But the pilot asked a crucial question that I was going to hit at for the guest. And I'm sorry, what's your name again, sir?
It's Christopher Bolin.
Christopher Bolin, yes. And you write for the American Free Press.
That's right.
And, yes, he asked, how do you find out about the dual citizenship or dual national status, mm-hmm, of some of these gentlemen? And you said that you researched Chertoff?
Yeah, like I just go to the library and I look up obituaries and you know, you find out who their parents are. You do it basically. You find out who their parents are. In the case of Michael Chertoff, his mother was an Israeli national who came from, I think, Czechoslovakia. Her name was Livia Eisen, and she married a New York rabbi named Chertoff. And I think they were actually married in Israel. In fact, I think Michael Chertoff spent much of his childhood in Israel.
And for those who know, this is like absorbing details from you, and I enjoy it today, but there are new listeners all the time just grasping the bigger picture. And when you say Zionists, I know you're not talking about Jews that go out in the desert and establish a home and fend off their home from savage Arabs, right? We're talking about people that hold positions in industry, the government, the military, in the United States, in Britain, and other countries that all lean towards this policy of protecting and funding and arming the state of Israel no matter what, what they do, and we're all just so dumbed down that anyone who watches TV, you notice you never hear the word Jewish extremism. But anyway, this Zionist powers that we're talking about here, would you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I know you're not talking about the Zionists out there in the desert settlements.
Right.
I know you're talking about this triangle, cabal.
Right, right. Well, it's true what you say. I mean, the Israelis, the Israelis and those settlers and everything, they are Zionists as well, but they are like the foot soldiers of Zionism. People like John Ashcroft and George Bush and Bill Clinton and Maurice Greenberg and there's thousands and thousands of them. There's something like 40 million Christian Zionists in this country. These are the people who, many of them are Christians, who go to church every Sunday and are taught that that Israel is the promised land and the Israel of today is the Israel of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, what have you. I mean, it's just the biggest hoax in history.
Well, and Chris, what I've done is I've actually gone out and interviewed people from Nutricarty. You know, 10,000 of these guys every year fall out in the streets of New York with their signs. The media won't cover them because they'll outright call for the withdrawal from all Jews from Israel because it's a secular Zionist political state, and it's not of the Torah teachings. I mean, they'll be the first ones to tell you this. But
yes, they consider it an abomination.
They absolutely do. Absolutely.
And it is. It's an abomination. And it's just that these naive Christians and many people have been duped into accepting that Israel is some sort of holy cow.
And people
like Ariel Sharon and Yitzhak Shamir and Rabin, these are just Jewish gangsters from Eastern Europe. And the thing is that in the United States today, there is a huge network of Jewish gangsterism, and it's been here for a long time. I mean, it's been here as long, if not longer, than the Cosa Nostra, the mafia. And this Jewish gangsterism built Las Vegas and built Los Angeles and built Hollywood. And it's largely got secret organizations like the B'nai B'rith, created in New York in 1843, and the Anti-Defamation League, created in Chicago in 1915. This is all part of it. We have this huge secret society of Jewish Masons, Freemasons, whatever you call them, who have extremely high positions and have a bunch of fellow travelers like John Ashcroft, and they're running this country to disaster. And we have to stop it.
Joe in New York. We're running short of time, Joe. Hello, Joe.
How are you, man? I think you're the man. Two questions for you. I'll make it quick, Chris. One thing is, why doesn't anybody ever tie in the existing building that's still standing? I think they were going to knock it down, I think, last week or so, which is the Bankers Trust building, which was decimated, 24 floors of it. It's got a big gash, but it's still standing. It didn't collapse. It's all steel. There was no implosion there, so I don't understand why that's never tied into any discussion about 9/11. I mean,
is that the Deutsche Bank building down the south side of the plaza?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Deutsche Bank and the Bankers Trust. And the other question I have for you is this. I definitely agree with you with the Zionists, no question about it. That's my opinion. The question I have is, why doesn't any congressman come forward or...
Yeah.
One of these speaking generals and point the finger at Israel? Do they have that much blackmail on these people that these people are scared to death to even mention the word?
Of course they do. And if a good Jew comes forward like Paul Wellstone, bless his soul, and challenges them on this, challenges them on the war, challenges them on their lives,
he dies in his own plane crash. That's exactly what I was going to bring up.
The FBI killed him, and the FBI agents were on their way before his plane even landed. I mean, before it crashed. And this obviously we have a nest of vipers up there in Minnesota at the FBI office. They, you know, not only have they produced all kinds of false evidence to support the government's claim, and they got this young 9/11 researcher killed last week, and they killed Paul Wellstone up there. I mean, we obviously have a serious problem with the Minnesota FBI office.
All right, hey Joe, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Let me squeeze another one in here. Aaron in Colorado, go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, it was brought up, why aren't the people waking up? I work for an engineering firm and handed out DVDs to everybody and tapes to everybody. I thought everybody would be gung-ho about it and would wake up. And no one said a thing except the janitor, basically. The janitor was right there with me. What it comes down to, I think, is even after World War II, you had citizens in Germany that denied the Holocaust happened or denied the atrocities happened. And I think we just have to keep pounding until we get more... The snowball builds further going down the hill, you know. The momentum keeps it going, and finally everybody has to acknowledge the truth, acknowledge the elephant in the bedroom, you know, in the living room.
There you go.
Because they're not going to do it. They're too afraid. I think they know. They just don't. They don't want to open their eyes.
Well, here's the mistake with that. If people maintain that type of thinking, there is going to be one day that they're going to wake up and there's not going to be anything they're going to be doing in America that's going to be worth a hoot. We are totally going to be taken over. This is my country. I was born a free man here, and I'm going to die a free man in my own country. The hell with these clowns. Christopher Bolin, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
I appreciate it very much. If you do me a favor, just hang on a second online. My producer wants to talk to you.
Amen.
All righty. Thank you, Chris. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. We will see you then.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.